Good morning. I'm very thankful for each of you who take time to listen to the things that I have on my heart to share with you this morning. I'm sitting here at my dining room table and thinking about the goodness of the Lord and all the blessings that He's bestowed upon us. We really just stop to count our blessings. The old song from the movie White Christmas. I'll get to the Bible, I promise you, but count your blessings. If we just stop and count our blessings, we would soon realize that God has abundantly bestowed upon us those things that contribute to our life being more meaningful, more purposeful, more complete, because we see that Jesus walks with us each and every day that we live. This morning I have some things on my heart I want to share with you. I begin by reading probably one of the most read Psalms of all, and the one that is often used to give comfort and encouragement. We call it the Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23. A beautiful psalm consisting of 6 verses. The shepherd David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Lord. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." There's so many things that could be said about this psalm, and I don't want to get sidetracked. I have a particular thing on my heart that I want to share with you, and that is, it's found in the 5th verse of this 23rd psalm, where David said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." And I pray the Lord to add His blessings to the reading of His word this morning as we think for just a moment about that table that's prepared. That table that's prepared for us, even in the presence of our enemies. This morning I'm sitting here at my dining room table, and I really have no fear of anyone intruding or interrupting or breaking up my thoughts concerning what I want to share with you. I feel a complete peace. Though I'm sitting here by myself, that peace is multiplied when family is sitting here with me, when others are sitting here and sharing a good meal, a delicious meal, and fellowship with each other. But David is made to understand that in his life, there were times when even in the presence of danger, in the presence of interruption of his life, in the presence of that which would try to destroy him, that there was a sense in which that God had a table prepared for him that he might be able to sit and to enjoy the blessings of fellowship sitting at that table with the Lord. And so that's what I want to share with you this morning, is that in our lives as well, as it was with David, that even in the times when we struggle, in the times when life seems difficult, when we have problems that come upon us, when there's turmoil in our lives, that if we just stop and begin to praise God, if we just stop and begin to realize and recognize, identify the fact that even in our darkest hours, the Lord is here with us. The Lord is present with us. He has prepared a table before us in the presence even of our enemies. Thou preparest a table before me. Now, I want to go ahead and mention this at the beginning, though it's not in the chronological order that I have concerning the things I want to share with you. But after David became king, he remembered a covenant. He remembered a promise that had been made between him and Jonathan, the son of King Saul. If you remember, King Saul tried his best to kill David because he was so jealous of him. But Saul's son, Jonathan, and David were the very best of friends. Their hearts were knit together. They loved each other as brothers. And they made a promise that whichever one of them died first, the other one would take care of their family. So if you remember, Saul and Jonathan were both killed in battle. And when David was anointed and made to be king of Israel, one of the first things that he did was he brought his servant before me and said, is there anyone left of the household of Saul that I can show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And that servant said, yes, there is. There's a son of Jonathan whose name is Mephibosheth, and he's lame on his feet. And there's so much to be said about that account of what took place in the life of Mephibosheth. Maybe another time we'll identify that more deeply. But there is one that is left of the household of Saul. He's the son of Jonathan. David said, go fetch him. Bring him back to me. And when David brought Mephibosheth into his presence, Mephibosheth was frightened. He had been taught all of his life from a youth up that David was an enemy, that David was not one to be trusted. So now he was brought into the very presence of David, and instead of David being mean to him, David had prepared a place for Mephibosheth, the grandson of Saul, the son of Jonathan. He prepared a place for him that he would sit at the king's table. Instead of being his enemy, David became as a father figure to Mephibosheth. And that table was prepared, and Mephibosheth was to sit at the king's table. Mephibosheth was to feed from the king's food. Mephibosheth was to have access to the king as a child would have access to a father. David had prepared a table for Mephibosheth, just as David had experienced all of his life, that in his times of trouble, in his times of struggle, that there would be a place that God would have where that God would show him kindness because of a great love that God the Father had for David. And just as it was with David, just as it was with Mephibosheth, so it is with you and I. There is a place that's prepared where that we can, even in our hardest times, I know I'm repeating myself, but it bears repeating in this time of life that we live in this world that we live in. It bears repeating that there is a place where that by faith we can sit down and we can understand that we're in the very presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He has a place where that we can sit with Him in fellowship with Jesus, our Savior, and partake of the spiritual blessings, the spiritual food that He has given to us. Now, let me back up now to a point when the children of Israel were coming through the wilderness, before that God had given them a promise of a land that He would give to them, but they weren't there yet. They'd come to this place in the wilderness, and they were close. They were so close to the promised land. And Moses sent out 12 spies, one man from each tribe of Israel. He sent 12 spies into the land. They were gone for several days. When they came back, they were carrying a cluster of grapes that was so large that it took two men. The cluster of grapes was draped over a stick, and two men were carrying that cluster of grapes back. They brought back pomegranates. They brought back the fruit of the land that was evidence, and they even admitted, yes, the land is exactly It's exactly like God promised. It is a land that flows with milk and honey. It is a land that's wonderful beyond anything we've ever seen or anything we've ever experienced. And as the spies were talking, 10 of them said, but wait a minute. I'm paraphrasing this. You'll find this in the book of Numbers, chapter 13 and 14. I said, but wait a minute. In that land, we also saw great walled cities. And we saw giants. And in our sight, we were as grasshoppers before them. We were so small compared to the height of them. We can't take this land. And you know, that's a half-truth. They could not. But God can. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So 10 of them said, we can't take the land. And because of their negativity, because of their doubt, because of their lack of faith in the promise that God had already said, I'm giving you the land, the people of Israel began to murmur and complain and said, let's go back to Egypt. Let's just make us a captain and turn around and go back. But thank God there were two men out of those 12 spies, Joshua and Caleb. And listen to what, I'm still on my subject of prepared a table before us in the presence of mine enemies. Listen to what Joshua and Caleb said to the people. They said, if the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into the land, and He will give us the land. This land that flows with milk and honey. Yes, God will give it to us. But the people had already said, let's go back. Let's go back to Egypt. They said, but just do not rebel against God. And don't fear the people of the land. But listen to what they said after that. Don't fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. You see what they were saying? Even long before David wrote the 23rd Psalm, they were saying, God has prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. These people, we don't have to be afraid of them because God is with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? They're bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. But the people still murmured and complained. I don't even know how to express this. It seems as though they didn't even want to sit down and experience what God had in store for them. Let's just go back. Jesus said, no man having put his hands to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. We're not to look back. The armor of God that has been given to us is fitted for us to go forward in the kingdom, to go forward in daily life, to go forward in the struggles, to go forward in the strife, to go forward in those things that cause us confusion and turmoil in our lives, to go forward walking by faith that Jesus Christ is with us. And that He has a table that's prepared. That these things that confront us, if we'll face them with faith in the power of God, each struggle becomes a strength. Each struggle becomes a feeding. Each struggle becomes a time when we become stronger in the Lord because we experience Him. If you remember the man that was had the legions of demons, when Jesus drove them out, do you remember what Jesus told him to do? He wanted to go and follow Jesus. Jesus said, no, you go home and you tell your family and your friends what great things the Lord hath done for us. Keep feeding off of when we think back upon the past deliverances, we can feed off of that to know God delivered me then, and I've experienced His power, I've experienced His love, I've experienced His grace, and God has not changed. So He delivered me then, He will deliver me now. We're sitting at the table by faith, partaking of the things that God has given to us. Another instance, the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. If you remember, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had created this 90-foot tall image of himself made of gold. And he brought everybody together, and he brought all of his governors and all of the dignitaries of the land and had them seated there, and all the people were in front of him. And he said, when you hear the music, you bow down and you worship this image of me. And they began to play the music, and people started bowing down, bowing down, bowing down, this one, that one, the other, all around. They began to fall to their knees. But suddenly, they realized there were three men that refused to bow to the image of the world, refused to bow to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. And they were brought before Nebuchadnezzar, and he looked at them and he began to question them. Is it true that you did not bow down? That's right, we did not bow down. I'm going to give you one more opportunity, he said. I'm going to have the music play again, and when the music plays again, bow down and we'll forget it all. We'll just say that it never happened and we'll go on with life. Three Hebrew children looked at Nebuchadnezzar and said, "Oh king, we're not hesitant." I'm paraphrasing it. You can find it in the book of Daniel. We're not hesitant to answer this that you've put to us. You don't have to sound that music. Don't waste the breath of the musicians. We're not going to bow down. We're not going to worship that image. Our God, the God that we serve, because Nebuchadnezzar said, well, who is that God that will deliver you? So our God that we serve is able to deliver us. If it's His will, He'll deliver us from the fire. He'll deliver us through the fire. Or if not, He'll deliver us by the fire. But either way, even if God does not bring us out alive, we're not going to bow down to you. Our God is worthy of our allegiance. The king became so mad, he sent his strongest men to take these three men, to cast them into that fiery furnace that had been heated 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated before. It was so hot that it killed the men that took the three Hebrew children. It says that the three Hebrew children fell down bound into the fire. In a little bit, the king walked over and he looked into the fire. And he looked around. And I can only imagine the look on his face. Did we not cast three men into the fire? Yes, sir, we did. Yes, it's true, O king. We put three men in the fire. He said, but wait a minute. I see four men. There are four that's in the fire. And they're loose. They're not bound anymore. And they're walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt. They're not burnt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. How did Nebuchadnezzar know what the Son of God looked like? Well, the same way that you and I understand who Jesus is and what He's able to do. God revealed it to him in that moment. This is my Son that's in the fire with these children. And as he came closer to the fire, he said to the three men, come out, come forth. It says, and they came out of the midst of the fire. When they came out, fire had no power over them. There was not one hair on the head that was singed. Their garments weren't burnt. And they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. God had prepared a table before them, even in the presence of their enemies. They came out alive. As a result, Nebuchadnezzar made that decree. There's so many instances in the scriptures where that a table had been prepared for the people of God. Daniel in the lion's den. There was a table that was prepared there, and that Daniel spent the night sleeping with the lions, and not one had any kind of hurt upon him. Their mouths were shut. The disciples, the 12 disciples, as they were in the ship and the storm came upon them, there was a table that was prepared for them, in that they saw Jesus rise up, speak to the wind, speak to the waves, and immediately there was a peace and a calm that came upon the sea, and it came upon the hearts of them. There was a table that was spread before them, that was prepared for them to see the power of Jesus Christ, His ability that He even has power over the elements of the world, of the earth. Do you believe this morning that God has prepared tables for you? One last instance. There was a first day of the week, a certain Sunday. Women were coming to a certain tomb. They were coming with spices and ointments. They were going to anoint the body of Jesus, who had been crucified 3 days before. They came. They wondered, how are we going to get in? Who's going to roll the stone away that we might be able to go in and anoint the body? They didn't realize a table had been prepared for them, even in the presence of the last enemy that you and I will ever have to face, and that is death. In the face of that enemy, there was a table that was prepared. When they arrived at the tomb, the stone had already been rolled away. An angel sat upon that stone in victory. The angel looked at the women, and he said to them, "Fear not. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen, just as He said He would. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, but don't tarry there. Come and see where He lay, but go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead." You see, there was a table that was prepared for them. They went in sorrow. They left in victorious joy. Jesus is alive. He is alive and doing well. And because Jesus lives, He promised us, "Because I live, you shall live also." We have the promise of the resurrection. We have the promise of eternal life that's been bestowed upon us by the very grace of God. Paul wrote concerning this in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 when he said, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins," we were dead in trespasses, "when we were dead in sins, He has now quickened us together with Christ. Because Jesus lives, we live. By grace are you saved." By grace you are saved. "And He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Yes, there is a table prepared even in the presence of our enemies, that when we come to that point that we face that last enemy, that we can face it with the blessed assurance, the calm assurance. The biblical term for that is hope. The calm assurance that death has no hold on us, because Jesus has defeated death, hell, the grave. Jesus has paid the price for our sins. It's been paid in full. We've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are children of God. We are blessed to sit at the table with Jesus. By faith, we partake of those things that God has prepared for us. I pray that the Lord will bless us to have this in our hearts and minds as we face the struggles and the trials of each day, that we'll be able to remember that we have an absolute assurance through Jesus Christ our Lord. May God bless you is my prayer, and amen.